Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and we're back from the Royal Rumble Fan Fest Day 1 here in the haunted Hotel San Carlos.
Yes.
I didn't know that when we signed in that this place was haunted.
No?
No.
Oh.
Why did you do that to me?
Ghost of Christmas Past.
Well, something like that. Some blonde chick who jumped off the top of the roof in like 1920 and she apparently haunts the hallways.
It's to get away from you.
Yeah. No, so it's not the first time.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Understandable.
Fan access is in the books.
All right. Let's just go through the day kind of what's happened here. So
I woke up hungover.
All right. Let's go through yesterday. Because what happened was, we had said to you guys on Thursday night when we're finishing, we're heading off, we're going to, like, we'll have audio every day, blah, 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 and we didn't get any yesterday. We did record something. We didn't put it up, though, because it was such drunken debauchery. This was Addy. We have, I have video of a drunken Addy fornicating with the elevator itself.
Oh, yeah.
There's another text from the girlfriend. What are you going to do?
Brother.
I have a video of him walking down the street, sticking his tongue up and giving the DX chop sign to random strangers.
Yes. Well, they should have been standing there.
There was the part where we went into a bar and he just decided right before getting in the booth to just moon me in the middle of the bar. And yet they still let him sit down. I was kind of surprised. That was great. There's the part where you're eating a hamburger and everything fell out the middle and none of you just had the buns. So you just picked up the hamburger in your hand at the insides and you were eating that in your hand like a hamburger. And you're like, how am I supposed to eat this? How about the part where you're walking down the street? And Phoenix is weird to where we're from in Calgary. There is, there's no part of the city, I mean, no part of the city at all where it ever is not people around.
No, exactly.
At any time of night, time of day, any time of night. But in downtown Phoenix, people come here Monday to Friday, they work, they go home. At night, there's nobody around. We were walking around downtown looking for the Circle of K, because we'd seen a Circle K earlier.
There was trouble afoot. At the Circle K.
That joke, by the way, that exact same joke Addy made, I counted it yesterday 14 times. I was like, you seen it at the Circle K earlier. We're looking for more alcohol, I'll be honest with you. And I wanted an ice cream or a bag of chips. Yeah, I know. And anyways, but Addy, so I'd be like, I think the Circle K might be one more block over. He goes, really? Because there's trouble afoot.
At the Circle K.
You did. And that today he's only made that joke 8 times.
That's true.
Yeah, so he's cutting back. So so there we are walking along the street and there's nobody around and he's drunk, just drunk. We're tilted kilt and they were very nice people. Phoenix, like the nicest people I ever met in my life. Great service everywhere and everything, but we're looking for this thing. And Addy's like, there's nobody around. And, well, actually, let me tell the other part first. Walking around, he'll used to be like, woo!
Oh, yeah.
Woo! And he'll turn and just like give me the stiffest chop that won't be expected. I'm just walking and just bam, and he'll hear me go, ow, what the fuck? And go, I'm sorry, I won't do that again. Woo! 2-3 more steps. Woo! Bam! Another chop. Like, ow, what the fuck? You say we're gonna do that anymore? Like, oh, I won't. Oh, that'll be the last one. Walk along. Woo! Chop! Ow! So this was like.
So anyways, it's your own fault if you fell for it 3 times.
3 times? Like 7 times, but...
Yeah, so it's a charm. 7th time's a charm.
I mean, I was slightly inebriated, but you were just wasted.
Oh, yeah, that's
just
awesome.
Wasted. I had, I believe, 6 rum and coke and 2 beer, and you had 8 draft beer and 2 MGDs
for the
bottle. Yeah. Just hammered. And, of course, I'm like 3 times your body weight because you weigh like 45 pounds.
I know. 3 times then.
90 pounds. 3 times. But, so anyways, he's walking along the street. And he's like, nobody in Phoenix. He's like, nobody here. I'm like, I know. He's drunk. He goes, look, I could take a leak in the middle of the street. Nobody would even see.
Yeah.
Like, walks out into the middle of the street. I got my back turned. I'm just laughing. Drops trowel. I see his ass crack. He's got his pants down. He starts taking a leak right in the middle of the street. It's 8:30 at night, by the way, folks. It's not late. We started drinking at 1. This is like 8:30.
Forgot about that. It's not like it's midnight
or three in the morning or something. It's like 8:30, 8 at night. He's taking a leak in the middle of the street. No cars or anything are coming. There was like a block and a half away some guy who was like smoking a cigarette in like an alley. He's like looking at Addy because Addy's sitting there taking a leak. But he's not just taking a leak. He's taking a leak while going, woo, woo.
But I was right, was I not?
Nobody came.
Nobody cared.
Unreal. So, yeah, that was yesterday's drunken debauchery.
Oh,
so
a little bit of nature.
That came up, too. We woke up, and what happened when we woke up? How were you?
I don't remember.
Yeah, no, he was drunk.
What, we woke up?
Yeah.
Probably.
Just a little. And what we...
But anyway, then we went to the Royal Rumble Fan Fest today. And we got there, we got our tickets, we got their box office open at 10:30, walked right in, got our tickets, cool, no problem. They're setting up this fan fest. As Hunter put it, it rains 6 inches all year in Phoenix. And those 6 inches just happened to come today.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And so, there it is. It's raining, and most of this fan access, because it's Phoenix and it's always sunny, is supposed to be outside. So we got there, when we got there at 10:30 for this to get our tickets picked up at will call, they were putting the ropes on the ring, but this was outside.
Yeah. Now, I understand from talking to somebody within Phoenix, they're like, usually it rains for an hour and it's done for the day.
Yeah.
So that might have been what they were expecting, but I already knew there was going to be trouble right there because I was like, okay, they're setting up, and it's just pouring. There's no sign it's going to stop.
Yeah.
Not only that, but it was raining last night. The forecast had called for rain, and the forecast I looked at before we left the hotel said rain all day except for like an hour where it would break.
Yeah.
So I was like, why is this, you know, why aren't they more prepared?
Mm-hmm.
But somebody obviously didn't make the call early enough that this was going to cause the fest to not work the way they had planned it.
So
they just continued going.
Yeah, it's supposed to start at noon. We got there, you know, quarter to 12, thinking that, okay, there's a huge lineup. I mean, it was quite a lineup, but I mean, you think, okay, it's going to open at 12, they're just going to let us all in because we all have tickets and blah, blah. And so, what time, it was about an hour late, it was about 1 o'clock when we actually got in. And really, all we got, all the fan fest was the NXT tournament for the winner getting into the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, we knew there would be a tournament that day. We didn't know it would be the NXT tournament. And
that's right, because we talked about maybe Tyson Kidd winning and stuff.
Because I had said to you, I hope that they have a gimmick where we can do the where you can call the matches and
all sorts of stuff.
Just the different games and the different stuff, right?
The Andre the Giant stuff, you know, the Hall of Fame stuff that they have.
That's what you're expecting.
Right? Yeah.
And, I mean, admittedly, they said themselves, I mean, later Hunter said, you know, because... When we were at the panel, he basically, and everybody said, they just threw this thing together, and that was obvious.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think we said it when we were in there, you know, they had time, but they had the time, but they didn't spend the time.
No, you know? That's a good way to put it.
But, you know, so basically all the fan fest was, if you didn't have these shoot and straight, or straight and shoot, as Michael Cole called it, panels, access panels, all the fan fest was NXT matches and some interviews. I mean, you had Brodus Clay, Zack Ryder, Kofi Kingston doing some interviews.
Layla and her butt crack showed up.
Yes, that was awesome.
Team Hell No, that was probably the
that was probably
the highlight. Ryback cut a little promo.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean,
it said feed me more, and I think then I went to go eat.
Yeah, I think he did actually. Ryback's interesting. We're getting a sense of the reactions here because Ryback, when they mentioned his name, loud boos.
Yeah.
But when it was about to come out, feed me more chance, it comes out to a massive pop, right? Because it's like, oh, there's a star.
Yeah.
And same thing, you know, every time they mentioned CM Punk, we were wondering if it would be a pro-Punk crowd, if The Rock would get booed. Punk was booed heavily. Rock wasn't cheered much, but Punk was booed heavily.
Well, but at the same token, there were a lot. I would say CM Punk had the most shirts.
Oh, absolutely. They were selling, all the gear they were selling,
yeah.
I think CM Punk had the most. And his was the first item I noticed that was sold out, which is the foam CM Punk fist.
Right.
Yeah, first thing sold out. A lot of Ryback merchandise. Not much for, like, Sheamus, right? Like, a lot Ryback,
right.
A lot CM Punk. Not that much for, well, quite a bit for Cena, but, you know,
the kids
a
have
little bit for The Rock. Shirt. I mean, but, and
well,
then
Rock
had,
has
Ziggler
new...
had a shirt, yeah. Miz had a shirt, Ryder, they had some Ryder stuff.
Did they?
They had, what's his name, Mysterio.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But for some things like Sin Cara, they didn't have anything for him there. They didn't have anything for, say, ADR. They didn't have anything, like, I don't know, who else is up there?
Has merch, Big Show.
Randy Orton, nothing.
Randy Orton, Big Show.
Yeah.
No, it really was the, it was, I mean, CM Punk had both his GTS yellow and his
knees to face's
shirt. So he had the two shirts. I mean, the kids had the John Cena stuff. You saw the John Cena stuff kind of everywhere with people. Yeah, and it was a kind of a barometer there. I think, as I said, most... CM Punk had the most shirts being worn. Is
I would
what
say,
I noticed,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So it's kind of
they did have a shirt for that cocksucking motherfucker Miz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we saw a couple people wearing it.
I know.
What were those people?
Cocksucking motherfuckers.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Two people we saw wearing Miz shirts at the reception.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, we were very disappointed.
Oh, we were fucking just this.
And, like, it doesn't help. Addie's hungover. I am a little tired, but I'm all right. But Addie's hungover, and there's just nothing to do. Like, if you don't want to watch NXT tapings, you don't have a second activity.
Yeah, there was nothing else.
There's no WWE. There's no WWE 13 booths to play the game like they usually have.
Yeah.
Like, all the stuff that you think of the Fan Fest that they do at WrestleMania, even at SummerSlam, they just weren't doing here.
No.
And Triple H had come out of the first and goes, oh, we're going to put on a great show for you. We're sorry about, having us having to wait out there. They gave us to make it up for people. $5 off all merch.
Five whole dollars.
If you filled out the Fan Fest.
No. The Fan Fest survey, I got that little gimmick, the little beaner gimmick.
Oh, yeah,
the WWE,
yeah,
the belt loop gimmick.
No, I thought, it was, cheap keychain.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
WWE keychain.
They had a panel asking you if there was, like, stuff to do and everything, and we just slammed it. Because it was an awful.
Yeah.
Just terribly wrong.
Well, it was, as I said, I mean, it was just NXT, and I mean, we had, and the NXT matches were, I mean, this went an hour. Basically,
because they had to, it was supposed to go from 12 to 4, but this thing, I mean, didn't start till 1 because they had to move everything inside last minute. And so everybody's left standing outside. And I had said to you, what they should do is have a couple of the guys, the performers, come out and sign autographs to make it up for people standing in line for an extra hour.
Yeah, just like shake
hands.
But
instead, they just had some people come out with a little bit of free food, and that's only because they had prepared it, thinking they would be selling it at 12, and they couldn't sell it at 1 because it wasn't fresh anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know.
But they had, just the booths there, the food trucks or whatever. You could buy some food, it was. And the fact that it was raining, I mean, coupled with the fact that we walked down there in the friggin' pouring rain too, I think we weren't really in the best of spirits at that point anyway.
No.
But I just it wasn't good. I mean, Bo Dallas. Won the tournament.
Beat Leo Kruger.
Leo Kruger. In the finals, they had who else was in there? Pac was in it. Adrian Neville.
Yeah.
You had Consequences Creed. Whatever his name
Xavier
is.
Xavier Woods.
Woods. Yeah.
Yeah.
Leo Kruger. We said the Conor O'Brien. The
Ascension.
The Ascension.
Yeah.
Conor O'Brien, who cut his hair.
Yeah.
There. We had said Kruger. Oh. Not Bray Wyatt. Luke Harper fought Bo Dallas in the first round.
That's right. Yeah,
it was. Yeah,
yeah.
And it was Pac. Against Corey Graves.
Corey Graves. Yeah.
And Pac won that. And then
Kruger and Xavier.
Xavier Woods and Kruger
and
won that.
Ascension. Do you remember who he beat? It was Vader's kid.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Whatever his name is.
I forget his name. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then it ended up being the finals was Kruger and Bo Dallas. They won that. Bo Dallas won that, and then. Where Bo Dallas would then go on to stalk us at the Fan Expo, at the VIP Fan Fest. There, every place we turned around, there's Bo Dallas wanting to shake our hand.
Yeah, exactly.
And we walked around to like all four corners of this thing, and we're like, Bo Dallas again. How you doing?
So really at that point we're thinking very disappointing, but we were just waiting for the panel, thinking this is going to be going to kick up there.
Brett and Sean Montreal
Screwdub with, and we're figuring Jerry Lawler would be hosting it because we know he's a third, and that made sense. Turned out Jerry Lawler also thought he would be hosting it, but the host for this panel and for the DX one later was Michael Cole. And Michael Cole, I'm sure, will also be the one for the WCW one tomorrow, which might be interesting. It'd be great if they got Tony Schiavone. But,
yeah.
But,
that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen, no. Or Scott Hudson, even. But, yeah. So, the panel itself, when we got here, that helped a lot. This was a lot of fun. Not a lot of totally new stories. You probably heard them somewhere. But there was a few new things, insight. And it's just interesting to hear these guys talk about this. Yeah. And, if you know, maybe in some ways, Lawler has some interesting insight onto the events.
Yeah.
As an outsider that was fresh. Plus, he gave us an interesting, a very interesting story.
Yeah, so you always hear the rumor, or not even the rumor, it's a fact. You hear about how Jerry Lawler doesn't attend the production meetings. And he said that, he quite out said it, and said
why. Well, actually, Cole said it as a joke, was how it started.
Yeah, and then he said why, and he said the way that it was is that he used to go to the production meetings, and him and Cole went to the production meeting when
and he was bored.
And he said they were always boring, and he said that it was the one where Undertaker and the Ministry were sacrificing, who was Phineas Godwin, to become Midian. And that in the production meeting that Midian was supposed to levitate. That Undertaker was supposed to, like, use his magical powers and make Midian levitate. And so, and then they leave the production meeting or whatever, and Cole and Lawler, they're so far away, they're not watching the monitor, they're just looking back or whatever, and Cole goes,
Lawler was into it, because he's like, I like magic.
Yeah.
That was his quote. I like magic, so that sounded great to me.
And Cole's like, all of a sudden, he says, oh my god, he's levitating, and all of a sudden, Vince yells at him through the headset, you stupid son of a bitch, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, they changed the angle, and he's not, you know.
Yeah, he's not supposed to be levitating anymore.
You're brave, you're going to have last night's pizza.
I'm going to eat last night's pizza.
I thought you weren't hungry.
I know, now I am.
Yeah, you're very brave.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting in the room for 24 hours.
Yeah.
I'm going to have some too, by the way.
Just to get warmed up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, so that was a funny story. It didn't have anything to do with the screw job.
Yeah. And afterwards, he basically said to Vince, maybe it's better if I don't attend these things.
Yeah.
Then I won't know what's being changed and is being screwed up. I'll just call what's happening.
Yeah. It's always his excuse now to not go to the production meeting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as the rest of it with Brett and Sean, I mean, it was, you know.
Was there anything new from them that you had heard? I think there was probably a few.
They teased showing Wrestling with Shadows footage and never did.
Well, they showed it for half a second, but it was a screw-up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just never got around to it.
Yeah, then they said they'd go back to it, and they never did.
Yeah, and that's just kind of... that panel wasn't run too well. It was very much an experiment.
Yeah.
This thing.
And Hunter said as much in the DX one.
Yeah, he's like, now that we've seen that people seem to like this and this is going good, we're going to do another one of these. We're going to keep doing these down the road, and bigger and better, right? Because this was really, it is really a very intimate thing, and probably 100 people attending it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a privilege to go see it. It's very few people have seen it, and very few people will hear it, though they were taping it probably as a network material, or maybe extras on the...
DVD,
bonus material for the Blu-ray, that type of thing. Hopefully, because people should see it somehow. They were a lot of fun. Brett swore, three times? Those were pretty funny.
Yeah, he said bullshit, shit.
Yeah, he's like, see, something about this bullshit Iron Man match. That was the first one. Guys just broke up laughing, right? And
Hunter said fuck.
Well, sort of.
A couple times.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Like he did, but didn't, you know. It was kind of, we'll get there. We'll get to the DX one.
But,
after.
Again, screw job. How did you feel? Blah, 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 right? I mean, it wasn't really, I don't know. It was okay. I mean, it was good.
It was really interesting. It was fun. It was entertaining. I laughed. I mean, there was things that made me laugh.
But, oh, sure. But,
you know, not. You know, again, it's almost more like, okay, Lawler's in talking about the intensity of the moment. You know, interesting to see if Sean doesn't really remember how they got the heat. Brett's like, I remember too well.
Yeah.
And goes into the story. Brett was really the star of it in a lot of ways, though Lawler was good, but he didn't talk much. It wasn't really about him, right?
It was just like the Blu-ray, basically.
Yeah, really. It really was. Just kind of like a live thing on that, but but I definitely enjoyed it.
I mean,
it was definitely very enjoyable. And then from that we went to the fan access. Why don't you explain about that a little bit?
Well, there was the after there was the VIP
that's
after party type thing. And basically what it was, and of course after being fucking hammered last night, when, you know, this random access thing had free booze.
Yeah, we didn't know going in. And it's like, if we had done this a little bit smarter.
Yeah, if we had known. But anyway, free water, though, too, so I drank a lot of that.
You drank a lot of that.
I can drink a lot of water. But the thing was, it had, so we go in, and, you know, it's free water, you sit down or whatever, and there's tables and stuff, like little sort of, it's a lounge, basically, the Blue Moon Lounge. And so you sit down, and then all of a sudden, you know, they brought some food, like tiny bits of food around at first. It was like, the first one, there was like hardly any food.
Mm-hmm.
That come back, like a couple pieces of shrimp and like the bruschetta gimmick. But
yeah.
And then
some people managed to find a way to get kebabs and
yeah,
they did that.
Then all of a sudden the Big Show walks in.
Yeah.
And who else comes with him? Antonio Cesaro.
Antonio Cesaro.
Rosa Mendez.
Mm-hmm.
Hornswoggle.
No, he came a little bit later, I think, didn't he? Or maybe he did. No, he right.
Was
he
in
did.
The beginning of the first
one. Was in the beginning, yeah. Hornswoggle. Bo Dallas.
Yeah, Bo Dallas, who stalked us.
Yeah.
And Wade Barrett.
Yeah, well, actually, Wade Barrett was the one who was a little bit late. He was the one getting tea. What's his name?
Funkasaurus.
Funkasaurus. Well, yeah, Brodusplay was there. Yeah. Or the Funkettes. What were their names?
Tracy and Nadine.
That's it. I don't know.
Naomi and Cameron.
All right, so which one's which?
Hmm? Cameron's the hot one.
Cameron's the hot one.
Yeah, and blue.
All right. Okay. All right.
But the thing was, is Cesaro and, like, Hornswoggle and them, they, like, mingled. They, like, walked around and, like, shook people's hands. And, like,
yeah, it was really funny because you're like, don't turn around too quick because Hornswoggle's right behind you.
Yeah.
And, like, I literally turned my head to the left and, like, I don't see him.
Yeah.
And you're like, lower.
Yeah.
I'm like, down where?
Down there.
And, but he was very friendly to people, mm-hmm. you know, signing autographs and not that big a deal. You know, a few people wanted to see him. Rosa Mendez got some attention because she's hot.
Yeah.
Big Show was very, very entertaining. Was in a good mood. Mm-hmm. Antonio Cesaro had a lot of what? Like
Claudio Castagnoli, Kings of Wrestling.
Chance. Yeah.
Big Show did say he's working on Knucklehead 2, The Search for a Better Movie.
Yeah. That'll be great. Claudio really carries himself like a star in person.
Oh, yeah. And, like I said, I mean, he mingled, he signed some autographs. Then Brett and Sean come out as well, did a little bit of mingling. Brett just sat down, like, right at the table beside us.
Yeah,
and just started signing.
Yeah, signing autographs. Get a good picture of that.
Yeah. Sean got set up for a lineup there, and so we stood in line to get our picture with Sean. And we get up there, they're like, no pictures, just autographs.
They were taking pictures with him earlier, and they changed.
Mm-hmm.
And he just basically shook our hands and said, sorry guys, I threw this thing together at the last
minute. Yeah, Sean goes, sorry.
Then we walked off on the king without getting our picture taken, even though we had waited in line. Because I did it because I thought we weren't allowed to take pictures. You did it because you didn't give a shit.
I didn't need to get my picture taken with Jerry Lawler.
No.
We did get our picture taken with Wade Barrett.
Yeah.
There. And
he was very nice.
Yeah, he was very nice.
He was nice. It was very funny seeing him with the kids.
Same as Cesaro, right?
Yeah, exactly. And again, the heel, right? But in these situations, it's just...
Yeah, they're putting smiles on people's
faces. And that's 2013 wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, even, you know, let's say there's Rosa Mendez, you know, and they did old Brodus Clay. He sat down. Didn't really get up.
No.
But then they cleared everything out.
He actually looked like he wasn't feeling that good. I don't know if that's the truth or not.
I don't know.
It didn't look like it.
Yeah. Maybe he was hungover too.
Yeah, it's possible.
But then, you know, then you had, they all cleared out. And then we got some more food and kind of sit around. And they said anybody that doesn't have a wristband, because they give a wristband to people that had the screw job and the DX ones. So we had a wristband. So basically, anybody that doesn't have a wristband, get the fuck out. So they all cleared out, and then Randy Orton, Ryback, Oksana, Natty,
mm-hmm.
William Regal.
Yeah, very popular.
Caitlin. Did I say Sin Cara? Sin Cara
was there, yeah.
And that's when Bo Dallas was walking around, still there.
Yeah, he was still walking around.
And, you see Randy Orton and Ryback? They were the ones with the big line. Yeah. Actually, they weren't the ones with the big line. Maybe William Regal might have the biggest line.
I think he did, actually.
Which is, you know, Sin Cara was certainly over.
What?
Sin Cara, well, he had his line. You know, he had some people there.
Yeah.
But, Sin Cara had some people there.
Sin Cara just looks like a normal guy with a mask.
He's really...
If he didn't have a mask on, he'd have no idea.
And I said this to you, like, I'm like, when he walks by, it made me have an appreciation for how short Rey Mysterio is. Because he's much taller when they're side by side than Rey Mysterio. And he's, like, a full head shorter than you.
Without his mask, if Sin Cara was just walking down the street carrying groceries, I would have no idea.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding.
But, so Natty, who's going to say hi to her mother for you?
Well, what happened was, I was like, well, let's get her. We're in a booth and we're kicked out and told that we could have the first picture with the person, and it turned out that's where Natty was. And the first time people were just, the first part people... were walking around.
They were mingling, yeah.
Mingling. And the second time was like, okay, they're going to see a situated in part of the room and people will line up to get autographs.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it changed a little bit. Again, that's part of the evolution of this thing. They didn't really know what was going on.
That's right.
Just like in the second one, they actually had food.
Yeah.
I said, let's get the picture taken with Natty. And for one thing, she's lovely. She's very beautiful in person. Mm-hmm. But also because I used to work with her mother and her aunt and her sister and everything. So I wanted to get in there and just see if there was any reaction. So I got in there, we're beside her, we said we're from Calgary. She's like, oh, nice you guys to come down. I'm like, yeah, I said I used to work with your mother at, you know, I named the place, right? And she's like, oh, small world. I said, and the only reason I did it was because Addy said earlier, like, you should do this and say hi to your mother for me. Like, Addy,
Mark Wahlberg, yeah.
Mark Wahlberg from SNL. So I looked at her and go, so I just want you to say hi to your mother for me. And she goes, oh, I will, absolutely. Like, she didn't get it at all.
No.
I was just hoping to, like, make her laugh or whatever. That's like, the only reason I did it was a
and
joke.
And she has no idea who you are.
No idea who I am, no idea who
and
Mark...
even as we're walking,
I don't think she even knows who Mark Wahlberg is.
Even as we're walking away, she's like, and I will say hi to my mother for you. She said that as we're walking away.
She meant it.
I know.
And I'm like, no, I didn't really care if you say hi to your mother for me. Yeah, who gives a shit? It's just, it was a joke. It was a way to make a joke, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, she didn't get it at all. Like I said, I'm sure she doesn't know what Saturday Night Live is.
Yeah, she does.
She Mark Wahlberg.
All of that. Just didn't put it all together. But anyway.
Yeah.
So then we went into the DX panel, which was fucking hilarious.
It was absolutely the highlight of the day. Not that the Bret Hart one wasn't very enjoyable and funny and I didn't laugh.
Yeah.
And really have a good time with it, but... Number one, it wasn't as many news stories. This was a lot of news stories.
Yes.
But also just because that one is still, it's just kind of a more serious topic. Whereas this is just a bunch of guys screwing around together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why this was the better of the two.
Yeah, and it started, they just brought out, Michael Cole does his thing, just brought out Sean and Hunter. The original.
Yeah.
Just brought out Sean and Hunter first. And they just talked about the formation of DX, and the original DX run, and all of that. And then they got to WrestleMania, and they got to the point where X-Pac, that Hunter was saying, you know, you look to the click or whatever, on Raw when X-Pac would come out. And then so then they stopped, and they played the music, and then X-Pac and the New Age Outlaws both come out to join the panel at that point. A lot of jokes about Michael Cole being a faggot.
A lot. Hunter made a lot of jokes about a lot of people because he can get away with it.
Yeah.
Not just him, but he made like a Hornswoggle joke that nobody else could really make.
And, yeah.
You know, like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they said if you could have one person join DX, extra person, who would it be? He's like, well, we got a Hornswoggle in the group, but he only counts as half.
Yeah, things like that. Like, yeah, Hunter was hilarious.
Yeah.
Sean was just having a good time. Talk a little bit about... was that?
Well, I was going to say, they were all having a great time, but... No, X-Pac, the road has owned him. It just sounded really rough.
X-Pac's in really rough shape. Yeah. It's not the road they're owning. There was a lot of references to him and Road Dogg and their drug usage.
Yeah.
And not really remembering that era and a lot of the stuff that they were up to.
Yeah.
And X-Pac looks particularly bad. It's almost like a guy with Tourette's. Like, he's shaking the whole time, and there would just be points where he would just, like, randomly, like, his body would move. Like, his head would move in a direction.
Well, and in some cases, he...
his leg would kick out, his arm would kick out. Like he didn't have full control of. And it made me realize why he's not on TV and maybe not training. Like he didn't look to me like he
could.
Like he literally looked like a guy who's like there'd just be parts where I'm like he didn't seem like he had full motor control of his functions. He looked rough.
I mean, at one point, he just forgot what he was saying.
He did.
Yep. He just stopped. They all joked about it. They're like, well, that only took an hour.
Yeah.
But the best was when they did the DX parody of The Nation, and they showed it. And I swear it was the first time that Sean had ever seen it. He said it wasn't, but I bet it was. And he was just, he had to get up. He was laughing so hard. Walk away for a minute.
Yeah. Slapping his knee.
Oh, God, falling over. It was hilarious. So watching all of the reactions to it, you know, whatever it is 15 years later, was hilarious.
Well, even when they're talking about it beforehand, when Hunter's talking about things like, you know, he's talking about he didn't know what Road Dogg was going to do.
Well, no, I wasn't even going to go there. I was in the X-Pac didn't want to do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, go tell both of those.
And all day, X-Pac is sitting there and he's... he's, of course, Mark Henry. There's a Mark Henry. But they told him the concept. They told him it was, and he's like, this is stupid. This is going to work. This is dumb. This isn't funny. This is dumb. I'm not doing it. This is dumb. He said the whole time, he's like getting the makeup put on. He's like, this is so stupid. And they said, Hunter said he had to pick up one side, and Billy had to pick him up by the other just to put the Mizark suit on him because he's like, this is so stupid.
Yeah, they're like, just hold still so we can do this.
Yeah. Would you just act like an adult? But fuck. And so they showed it, it was hilarious. And even, D'Lo, with Road Dogg being D'Lo, he's like, D'Lo's whole purpose in the Nation of Domination was to repeat whatever The Rock said. That just seemed to be whatever he did. He just repeat whatever The Rock said. So he's like, I had no idea he was going to go that extreme. But it was hilarious.
Well, he did. He said he didn't know he was going to do that. He said that he hadn't even noticed that that's all that D'Lo did.
Yeah.
Hunter's like, I didn't even realize it at the time, you know, that's all that the guy did. Yeah. But, you know, he's like, I didn't know he was going to do this. All of a sudden, I'm in the middle of my promo, and Road Dogg walks over to me, and he's like, says something about doing this and something, you know.
Smelling his bacon, smelling his bacon,
smelling his bacon, smelling. And runs off
Yeah. But there was another story from Road Dogg where he talked about how Vince Russo wrote him a script of something he wanted to say, and he balled it up, threw it in his face, and said, "You want this written? You want this read on air? You're gonna have to do it yourself."
Yeah.
And they got into a big argument. They got hauled into McMahon's office, and Russo had to apologize to Road Dogg.
Yeah. No, it was great. This was, like I say, they talked in depth about, obviously, about, the invasion angle.
Yeah.
WCW.
Norfolk Scope, yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting beside us at this panel was that guy with the red hat, the sign guy.
Yeah.
Turn back. He's actually an asshole.
Yeah, a complete douche.
Yeah.
Just a total douche. The sign guy's a complete mark, self-important douche.
Yeah, that's what it is. There's like kids that want to ask questions, like 3-year-old, 5-year-old kids.
Yeah.
And he's standing up there like a five-year-old kid, trying to get a question asked. It's like,
yeah.
Cares, you know?
Yeah, exactly. When he finally does, because right at the end of the night, they're like, okay, this can't leave because at one point, they're like, because he kept on standing up and trying to get everybody's attention when it was time to write the question, and you hear Hunter actually say, he goes, I guess the sign guy, I guess you have a question you gotta ask, right? And he just sits down like a little baby and goes, whatever, and like waves him off, like, I'm not gonna bother them. Then next time it's time to work the questions again, he's back up, but like trying to get their attention. Yeah. Finally, Cole at the end is like, so sign guy, you know, I guess we'd better just let you ask a question. He's like, yeah, so is there any things that you guys tried to get on the air that the censors wouldn't let on, and what are those stories? And it's like, you know, they're like, yeah, the reason we can't kill them here in this PG product, because they couldn't get them on the air.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dumbass.
Yeah, he was...
Actually, the Cole story from the end of the Screwjob panel, when they're doing the questions around the room, and there's the guy asking the last question, or not even, you know, tell that, but...
Well, Michael Cole, for a lot of the time, seemed like he'd rather be anywhere. The DX one, he was having fun. But the Screwjob one, he wanted to be anywhere else. And somebody was asking, he was going on and rambling on about, it wasn't even a question, it was just like, he kept talking and talking and talking, this guy, and fucking Cole's just got his head down, head in his hands, like going like, oh fuck, would you just spit out this question, you stupid motherfucker? Like,
well, because the thing is, it starts off, the guy says, I have two questions. Yeah, he's like, it's the last question. Cole said, one last question. The guy goes, I have two quick questions. He goes, you have one question.
No, he's like, I have a few questions. He's like, you get one.
Yeah, one question.
Like, oh, in that case. And then he just starts
fucking talking about how great everybody is on the stage and never asks a question.
Oh, but Cole was doing what everybody else was thinking there. Yeah. He was like, oh my God, shut up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good. And this X-Pac, panel and DX and everything, that was great too. They talked at length, honestly and positively, about China.
Yes, they did.
And how good of a big of a contribution China.
Well, really, how not even on stage, but backstage, how she was very creatively involved in a lot of the fun
and the humor.
Stuff.
Yeah, exactly. In the juvenile humor stuff, and just put her over. Hunter put her over. You know, Road Dogg did. X-Pac did. You know.
Yeah. Billy Gunn didn't talk, and even said, "I don't talk."
Yeah, he's like, "I don't talk that much." Yeah. He said a few things, but not
later. Not much.
Yeah. No. Not much. They did recount the story about, remember how Xbox, remember they wanted to have Val Venus join DX?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Hunter's like, what?
Well, it's this one kid asks the question, you know, DX, is you're all great up there and everything like that. But if you're going to have one person do the crotch chop who could join the group with you, who would it be? And
Triple H's response was, you are better than Josh Matthews is right now.
Yeah, it's like, you want a job? You're better than Josh Matthews right now. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Just awesome. Just buried him.
Mm-hmm.
Buried him. Yeah.
But then it was...
VKM.
A guy asked about the Voodoo Kin Mafia, and Hunter's like... It was a question to Hunter and Sean, like, what did you think about the Voodoo Kin Mafia? And Hunter's like, okay, I'm sorry, what is the Voodoo Kin Mafia? He had no idea. No idea.
Yeah.
And Sean is like, no, I know this one. And he's like, that's when they were in TNA. And it's VKM, Vincent Kennedy, and he says, and they're like, well, Road Dogg, what were your thoughts on it? He's like, it was Russo.
Well, first off,
I was getting paid.
Because Hunter's like, I'm totally serious. I have no idea what VKM is. You're talking about this? Because the guy's like, what was VKM? Was that you guys? Because he's talking about when they invaded WWF.
Yeah, was that you guys?
Or WWE, sorry. When they were with TNA. And he's like, is that you just guys going to have fun with your buddies? Like, what was that going on?
And Road, like, he's like, I have no idea. And Road Dogg's like, he has no idea.
Shut up. He's like, can I talk to you later personally? You want the answer?
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to get the guy to quit. But the guy wouldn't let it go. He was like a bulldog.
But then they moved over to the question, and they're like, well, no, ask your question. What's your question? Or whatever. Yeah. They were good about that. They didn't dodge any questions.
No. But eventually, yeah, the person who told Triple H what Voodoo Kin Mafia was, he goes, it's Shawn Michaels. He goes, that was these guys when they're in TNA. And Hunter goes, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
and
I think Billy Gunn went,
yeah, exactly. And Shawn goes, by the way, it's Voodoo Kin Mafia, VKM. Vincent Kennedy McMahon, and Hunter goes, oh, and Sean goes, yeah, it took me like 10 years to figure that out. And Road Dogg says, yeah, look, I was in a rough time over there.
Yeah,
he's like, you know, I was drinking a lot, and if you keep asking this question about Voodoo Kin Mafia, I'm going to start drinking again.
Yeah, that's right. And what are the other, there was another, this guy, hi, my question is for Hunter and Sean. Can you take a picture with me and my brother? Nope.
That was so awesome. And he's like, well, that's not really a question. And Hunter's like, actually, it really is a question. And yeah, and Road Dog's like, yeah, and the answer to that question is no. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great shit.
Somebody asked Shawn Michaels for a hug at the...
yeah, and of course he gave it to
him. He gave her a hug.
There's somebody who asks... Hunter, and Hunter was obviously confused, but he tried to be polite about it. This one guy got up and goes, when you marry Stephanie, was it because you're really mad at Vince? And he I don't think he knows that this shit's a work. Like that.
Well, that guy was, like he was doing like this, he was moving his hand, and Sean was mocking him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the guy might have had a medical issue, so.
Yeah, well, maybe he used to wrestle.
Could be.
CET. Yeah, yes, yes. But yeah, that was strange.
So that's it, and then we got we left the evening, and we got an autographed CM Punk, an autographed Sheamus plaque or picture.
Pictures,
I guess.
Yeah, they're nice pictures, especially nice. The Punk one's really cool.
Yeah, so that was our gift for attending the that, but that was it for fan access. So started off really shitty, ended well.
Yeah, no, I would say that all in all, I'm like it. I found it did start off shitty, but it's still interesting. There was still stuff that's like interesting, like seeing the shirts and seeing kind of the reactions when people's names are done or whatever.
The other thing I looked at too was the fact is that the fan access was $10.
Yeah,
so basically
exactly.
For $10, you got an NXT show.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, you know, could be worse.
Yeah,
could be worse. Yeah,
could be worse. But you know. We apparently may not be the only people here in Phoenix, as it's been said that Shelton Benjamin, Carlito, are in Phoenix.
Shelton Benjamin is a name, of course, we had talked about a few times. Carlito, a new name. I never thought of it.
No, yeah. But right in that same range as the Chris Masters.
Matt Hardy,
yeah. Kind of, you know, if you're going to bring back some guys, these are 10.
And again, one shot or bring him back.
These are 10-year removed guys, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know how long he's been gone, but it is a while. It is definitely a few years.
Well, but I just mean they were around 10 years ago. You know what I mean? Carlito was around 10 years ago.
Yeah, he was.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you do Carlito, Primo, and Epico?
Yeah, you do.
You know, as
yeah, I absolutely do. And you know what? You turn the babyface, have them feud with 3MB as an undercard match, and hopefully let them entertain and get over. And that's one of the things they talked about. Again, it was really funny, actually. That's one of the things Road Dogg, and most of this, I mean, I'm sure that if he's somewhere, you know, people will get a chance to see this, but you really do have to see like their expressions on people's faces and a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Road Dogg talks about how, you know, nowadays I guess there's not a lot of Road Dogs because they're having to script everything basically, and he's like,
oh, and Hunter,
I don't think the best way to go. I think still the best thing to do is let people go out there and do their own thing.
Yeah.
And you should have seen Hunter's face, like,
Hunter,
I can't say anything.
Like,
don't say that. Because, of course, that's his wife's shit, right?
Yeah, Hunter's, like, death stare.
Yeah.
The other one is someone asked if the rumors of the Click getting into the Hall of Fame. And Sean's response was, well, I haven't heard that, but I'm out of the loop on this. And Hunter goes, well, I haven't heard that, and I'm basically booking the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah, that was very interesting.
And in a roundabout way, basically just said they couldn't do that because of Scott Hall.
They really did, yeah. Scott Hall's not ready to do that.
And Sean talked about, and Hunter rather talked about the fact that he goes, as big of a deal as it would be for, you know, the Click to get together on stage like that for the Hall of Fame, he's like, I'd just like the Click to get together, you know, in a backyard or just somewhere.
Because
that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
So you know, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It really is.
You know, to me, that's interesting that, like, Scott Hall maybe, like, say, like, wasn't at Hunter and Stephanie's wedding then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that would have been the time you would think that they would be able to get together. Would have been a time that way. So if that didn't happen, then that, you know.
And, yeah, I guess it's not too, like, a complete surprise because it is...
Scott Hall.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, it's not just Scott Hall. I mean, it was Xbox that has issues over the years, and
oh yeah,
they did talk a little bit about how, again, going back to it, but they talk about how even with Sean and Hunter, how they wanted to bring in the New Age Outlaws into the group, but they realized they didn't have to because they were starting to get over on their own.
Yeah,
and somebody asked, well, did you know that? that these guys were going to bring you in, and you were asking, you know, do you know that they that Hunter and Sean wanted to bring in the original DX? But Hunter goes, no, they didn't know they were getting over.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't know they were getting over.
Yeah. But, no, no, basically they did. They said that was kind of like, yeah, it's...
And they also had a montage of DX beating the shit out of Michael Cole.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like the In Your House... In Your House...
the Rick Rude story.
Yeah, In Your House Degeneration X. They had the... He's trying to get in... Cole was trying to have an interview with Michaels, and Rick Rude and China and Hunter start pushing Cole around, and ended up Sean's in the shower, of course, and so they push Cole into the shower or whatever, and Rick Rude, apparently, what you don't hear, all you can hear is like this smacking thud, and apparently what it is Rick Rude beating the shit out of Michael Cole with a shoe.
Yeah, legitimately beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, with a shoe, and
Michael
then,
Cole's only been there a couple months at the time.
Yeah, and then Hunter asks about quite like, what's under that towel or something? And Sean has some, like, giant penis joke. And then the look on Sean's face watching him say that is like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just, oh, my God.
Well, somebody asked the question, are you embarrassed by any of the stuff that you did back then? Do you or do you think, you know, you would hear about kids getting in trouble at school
that's what
and stuff,
it was.
Imitating what you guys were doing. And basically, it was Road Dog who said, yeah, I think about that stuff a lot. Did I lead you guys down the wrong road? Trust me, I think about that all the time.
Yeah, and he said, yeah, it's a fair question. I think about that all the time. And
Hunter didn't address that one at all.
No, and Sean kind of chimed in, but yeah. And like, it's the Christians, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, but Sean's was basically like, well, you know what, then I was a wrestler, and I'm still a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of, you know, he tried to play it off that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no, it's all good. It's all good in the hood. So,
yeah.
That was the fan access.
Yeah, portion. Let's really quickly. We had a email question that I just want to kind of get to because I thought it was kind of interesting. It was from our friend Gentleman Jack, and we appreciate him listening and you know sending this in. He and I'm just doing this from memory because a few days ago I read it.
Oh, you want me to get it? I got it on my phone.
Yeah, if you have it on your phone, if you can go grab it, because I know you said you have a. Kind of a very good answer for him on this. And,
well, it's because I'm brilliant.
Or lucky. I don't know. Maybe you're clever.
Brilliant.
Genius?
Brilliant.
Not either one.
WWE is a PG product, and the booking is done...
Speak towards the mic, you brilliant bastard.
No, suck my dick. WWE is a PG product, and the booking is done often with the younger audience in mind. See John Cena, Brutus Clay et al. However... When I watch Raw, all I see is ads for tax services, insurance companies, deodorant, and Just for Men, hair coloring, all product geared towards the older male demographic. And all of these ads are predominant in the 8 o'clock hour, time one would think especially the children would be watching. What gives? It wouldn't make sense to program for whom your advertisers are paying to reach. If no children's products are willing to advertise at WWE, it wouldn't make sense to write off the strictly PG era and maybe do... allow some bigger, better, and possibly more controversial creative ideas to have a shot. Be interesting to your take on the podcast. Thanks, love the show. I mean, the short answer, I guess, on that is that WWE doesn't do their ads for the show. That's a strictly USA Network deal. That it's they used to do their own ads. Before them when they were on the USA Network, and I believe got rid of that when they went over to TNN, and is now, and still, without USA, they don't do their ads anymore. So, the short answer is WWE's not in charge of the ads that happen on Raw.
And what's the long answer?
Hmm? There isn't one.
No. Well, one of the things that is one, though, is that, you have to keep in mind...
My penis.
Short ones, like we said.
The long answer.
Oh. The wrong answer.
Usually.
One of the things, though, is Vince wants very much to be seen as legitimate. Vince was upset when their product was, even despite the ratings, I mean, when the product had massive ratings, but was more controversial, and Coca-Cola and Chevrolet and things like that.
He really wanted a car company to advertise.
Yeah, they wouldn't advertise with them, and he didn't understand it because it was a more controversial product. So he's happy if it's these more mainstream... and keep in mind, while we're talking about them having PG acts, It's not the peak. Well, it. Again, I think you. I don't think you need to go raunchy. I think it's nice to be able to tell a more mature storyline. But you have to look at it from the idea that they have still got 18 to 34, 18 to 49 males, despite, you know, the Burroughs Clays and whatever, the Hornswoggles. That's still largely their main bread and butter.
The median age of WWE is 37.
Yeah.
That's your average age of a viewer, according to Nielsen, of Monday Night Raw is 37. So, in a row. So, I mean, that's... So when you see advertisements for that, that's based off that Nielsen data as to who's actually watching. It's not who the product is geared towards. It's who's actually watching the show. And that's who advertisers want to reach, are the people that are actually watching the show. So if they say, if Nielsen's coming out and saying the average age is 37, then yeah, then maybe a, you know, a Just for Men or a tax service, or, you know, there's Domino's pizza ads, and they still see the Twix cookie ads and stuff like that, Skittles, right? I mean, those sorts of things. I mean, so there's a little bit, but it's also you're also advertising to the people with the money as well. I mean, you can say what you will about, you know, advertising to kids to, I want to buy. You still have to convince the parent to buy.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of, hopefully that answers your question, but
it's a good question.
It is a good question. Yeah,
it's,
thank you very much. TNA tapings. What? Yes. There's a couple newsworthy items that happened there. What was that?
Bobby Roode and Austin Aries are your new TNA Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, right move.
Yes.
They should carry that division.
Yes.
And then eventually, one of the two teams, either Bad Influence or them, should turn babyface and have a babyface heel feud. And it should be the greatest feud in the history of mankind. It's already sometime, I'm going to happen sometime in 2013, I'm sure. And it's already my 2013 feud of the year.
Yeah, exactly. That would be excellent. The other thing that they did was during the Ken Anderson-Kurt Angle cage match that talked about, or was made, I guess, last Impact, Jared Bischoff and Wes Briscoe pulled the trigger, revealed themselves as aces and eights, turning on Kurt Angle and him. The three, Anderson, Briscoe, and Bischoff, beat down Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing that's happened.
It, for me, it didn't sound too good. How was it they did it? Because apparently... It
sounds really good, actually.
To you it did, yeah. Yeah, and apparently, you know, live, it got over well.
That's right, yeah. So it should... I hope it translates. I mean, it's just a matter of Bischoff climbs to the top of the cage or whatnot and takes the mask off himself, revealing who he is. And then Wes Briscoe has a key to the cage, unlocks it, locks it behind him, takes out his ponytail and shakes the hair out to show the, you know, that aces and eights. The wild aces and eights hair that he had. He takes off his suit then to reveal his aces and eights gear.
See, it probably is well done. I guess my only problem is we keep on hearing, never lose your masks. That's our identity.
Right.
We're going to keep these things on, and then these guys go and do it themselves. And yeah. I don't understand that.
Yeah. No, that's fair. But sounds like the actual angle itself was done well, so...
Yeah. Yeah, and that's about, what, 4,000 people they're playing in front of?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah, about 4,000 is what they're saying, so...
I will say this, just to go back to the Bret Hart one. I think the story of Bret Hart knocking out Vince,
right?
I've never heard it told that long and that much detail and that well before.
That's true. That is true.
Actually. That's probably, that many ways might have been the highlight.
Davey and Rick Rude being all giddy that Vince, like, wouldn't leave.
Vince wouldn't leave. So, and they're like, we're gonna see a fight. And they were like giddy, like school children, yeah. As Bret described them.
Yeah,
that was pretty funny. And Bret's just like, it was a lucky punch, but it came up underneath his arms. It was instead of going outside.
He didn't have a towel because Davey Boy always just steals a towel.
Yeah, he's like, Davey Boy always steals my towel, so it's all this between me is I'm dripping wet, and it's all between me and Vince is a dirty towel.
he's like a dirty towel.
Yeah. So that was good that way. So, all right, that's, anything else? Final thoughts of the day? It was a fun day. Yesterday was a fun day, and tomorrow's going to be a hell of a lot of fun, too.
Yes, Royal Rumble tomorrow, so we'll be back after the Royal Rumble with a live thoughts on the show.
Be thoughts on the WCW panel in the morning.
Yes.
I have very high hopes for it after this because, it was like shoot interviews. We're really well done shoot interviews,
baby. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, no, that'll be good. So, I think that's going to do it. We forgot to mention former referee Tim White also we saw at the panel as well.
A few people recognized him, got their pictures taken with him. But that's kind of cool.
So, that's...
He looked healthy. He looked well.
He did look good, yeah.
And you know who didn't look well? We talk about X-Pac, but Shawn Michaels up close, his skin is just, like, wrecked. Just, you know, wrecked. In many ways, Brett looks healthier up close than him. That's
up close, probably, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
But yeah, anyways, we're OUT, Twitter, yes. Stitcher, iTunes, Twitter's WeTalkWrestling.com, email Addy at WeTalkWrestling.
Twitter's WeTalkWrestling.com? No.
Yeah, no, what is it? At WeTalkWrestling.
This is why I do the plugs.
Yeah.
Well,
we're at
WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. WeTalkWrestling.com is the website, and you may email us at Addy, A-D-D-I-E, at WeTalkWrestling.com. So that is going to do it. We're also on Stitcher and iTunes, as you mentioned. So, in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks. Titties.